shots in the pool. That is not cool. I need the tool. Take me to school. Feet first into this league. Me first. That cannot be. Under the underdog Monica G. Feeling a whole lot better suddenly. I get in with it. Winning again. You're 1-2 in the bag and I'm going for 3. That is the beat down. God are the best, so I keep now. Y'all treading water for weeks now. Now I'm the shark, so I eat. Now look, I am not sorry. I understood the pun from which I started. And navigating these drafts is cathartic. So thanks for the invite to party, yeah. Down is the underdog bite down. Up at the day and the night now. Easy as flying a kite now. Come take a look at it right now. Down is the underdog bite down. Up at the day and the night now. Easy as flying a kite now. Come take a look at it right now.
Everyone, welcome to episode 91 Dynasty Underdog. I'm your host, Ryan Dawkins. Join with me tonight, Billy Beeman. What's up, bud?
What up, man?
How was rookie draft weekend?
Oh, dude, it's so good. It's so much fun. Like, I'm heading into this weekend, and I'm actually heading out of town Friday. I'm a little scattered for sure, but it's always good because, like, you just have these long, slow drafts running, and you can always kind of come back to that for a little bit of joy. I can roster bait a little bit on the picks I've made. I think I've made some really good moves. I've made a lot of moves in Console Wars, the league that we talk about a lot, that three copy 36 team league, which is essentially like three 12 team leagues in one. But that draft, we've been, everybody, not just me and Uriah and Josh as well, but everybody's been moving around the board so much. So it's been a lot of action and just, you know, a lot of excitement. So I'm excited about it. I love it.
I'm a little jealous of some of the moves you've been making. Like, it seems like it's just like easier for you. Like, I'm spending like a whole week sending out, I mean, I'll have like 6 trades pending and then rejected or ignored, clear them out, do it again. Go through, because, you know, you'll have 31 other teams to trade with in there, and I keep going, and it's been weeks and then nothing. But it's like, as soon as I'm on the clock, but I'm like, all right, I'll make my pick. Then I get like 4 offers. I'm like, I can't do this. Like, I've been trying to talk to you guys for weeks now.
You get DMs like, hey, I'm interested in your pick right now. Yeah, like, I don't know, man. Like, it's so funny because, like, I feel like I'm so much more patient with the trade stuff. Like, I'm like, I'm the first one in there to tell you you're on the clock, but I will totally take 7 hours to make a trade. You know what I mean? And I don't typically take that long or anything like that, but I'm totally willing to like take my time. And I don't mind, like, I just don't mind it being like the last second. And some, like, one of the biggest trades that was made, that was, you know, like, somebody wanted 2 late first for an early first, and they sent it to me, and I just hit accept. Yeah. Like, I was like, okay. Like, you know, and so, like, some of those are just kind of easy. But yeah, I do feel that way too, for some reason, that I get a lot of stuff done. I don't know why that is. Sometimes it's from talking, sometimes it's not. I do feel like there's a strategy to it.
Yes.
Definitely have, like, I pick times and places to do it, like during the draft when people are sleeping, when others aren't, right? Like, something one person did this week was a really bad move on their part. And this is just a good tip. Like, they came in the draft and were like, hey, I'm on the clock. This person specifically has, I have an offer out to this specific person, seeing if they're going to accept, right? That person had an offer to me too. So immediately I'm like, I'm just going to accept it, because, like, I would lose my shot at accepting it if that person realized there was another offer. So, like, that just tipped their hat. And I was like, and there's nothing they can do about it. Like, now I know, and now I'm just going to go do what I can do, right? Or I won't accept it. But one way or another, you get that intel. So just, like, be careful what you say to your league chat, because it could be used against you. Absolutely. in the court of law.
In the court of law. Boom, boom.
Oh my goodness, man. Yeah, it's been a really fun week.
Awesome. How many more you got left?
Oh, I don't think that many more. We have our Debbie one left, of course. Yeah. So that's coming up, I think, tomorrow, actually, it starts. Yeah. I think I definitely have the salary cap league, but that one is going to be, like, that actually rookie draft already ended. I just have the vet draft, which is going to be kind of like a complete revamp. I don't think I have one other one, and that's it. I have two left.
Same here. We got to finish out Console Wars. We'll probably take another week. Our Devi, and then I got a startup I'm supposed to be doing in May. Well, it is May. A couple of weeks. And then, I think we're waiting for a dispersal in another league, but yeah, wrapping it up.
I actually I'm in the middle of a Devi startup. If we finish the NFL portion of it, which included the rookies. And now we're kind of 5 or 6 rounds through 7 round Devy draft. And I think I've done okay. I tried to trade out of it and get like vet value to just kind of like win this year. Nobody really was like, people were saying, sending me Chase Edmonds and shit like that for like my first or second Devy pick. And I was like, I'm good. I just picked like Josh Downs, and that was my second guy, and somebody else over the first pick. But there's a couple decent players there. But I also have my C2C draft coming up. So we're going to have a couple of different guests on. I'll just mention now, we're going to have, I think in order, Katie Flower, Zach Reed, and then Peter Howard we're going to have on. And I'm excited to talk some Devy with Katie to get some insight, just like what we should be looking at, you know, like what actual players we should be looking at, like where to kind of get the best information other than, of course, UTH, which, you know, is her home and podcast and whatnot. But just kind of want to pick her brain about Devy, because as much as I know about Dynasty and the incoming class every year, Devy has me slightly shook. You know what I mean? Like where I'm like, I'm making decisions and they're it's not as informed as I want to be, you know, bottom line.
Yeah.
So
awesome. Let's hop into some news and nonsense.
Let's do it.
So this first one, cause it's one of my guys I talk about all the time. Somebody hit me in the chat. Like, I don't know. I didn't even see this report, but he was like, hey, did you see a report that Sky Moore is dealing with the hamstring? Did you see this?
I looked it up when we got on here because I saw you had it, and it says it's minor, prevented him from doing team drills in Chiefs rookie minicamp this weekend, which is not anything small. It's getting better, more set on Sunday. It's a minor hamstring tweak. I'm just working with the vice president of sports medicine there. Right now I'm going to be back soon. I feel like the receiver room that I'm walking into has about everything more said, but I feel like I bring versatility and just another playmaker. So I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like when guys miss kind of walkthroughs and rookie training camp and stuff. Like this is when they're learning kind of the basics.
It could really set you back. I think we've seen it with other players. I mean, like even like Kadarius Toney and his cleats he's got a whole bunch of other issues.
You're like, bad example, but yeah, him.
I don't know. It's the first one that came to mind. But you know, the Rashad Bateman missing time.
It's not good.
It's not good for your rookie year. You know.
And more really, concerning, it can lead to missing time in the regular season.
Absolutely. It's a hamstring. They don't just heal up. So it is something to be concerned about. But yeah, I didn't see it. So I just wanted to see if you were up to date on that.
Yep. Little concerned. But, we got to just kind of see what happens. If he can get back quickly, I'm not too concerned about it. But I don't like it. Don't like it at all. By the way, you know you're up in Console Wars?
Oh, I've been waiting. Am I up?
Yeah.
just recently,
up,
right?
You've been up since we got on the pod. I forgot to mention it to you.
I don't like have notifications on. I just like randomly go to the draft board and see if...
I don't understand. I literally get every notification.
I think they go to my email, but I don't email notifications on. So I don't know. I keep my phone as quiet as possible. I'll pick by the time...
Yeah, no, take your time. Something. Take your time, dude. Take your time. I was just letting you know.
Cool. Next news, Sonny Michel, I think we talked about this last week, he was visiting, and then we get the notification that he signed with Miami.
Yep.
I mean, like you said, you're like, I could absolutely see him stealing some goal line work from Chase Edmonds. That's probably why he offered you Chase Edmonds in your Devy startup.
Well, which I thought was absolutely foolish after the news, because it was after the news. I was like, duh, come on, man. But
you gotta try.
We actually discussed this on... We discussed this on Any Given Pod, and Jake also on Twitter, my co-host on Any Given Pod, was kind of trying to, you know, just give me a little shit, being a little snarky about, you know, me saying that he was going to take goal line touches away and whatnot, because should we really be expecting Edmonds to get goal line touches anyway, right? Like, wasn't Raheem Mostert going to do that anyway? And so he brought up a good point there, but in general, I think that Sony Michel is a better running back than Chase Edmonds, right? Like, it's also why he got picked where he got picked in the NFL draft in the first round. And he's not been a slouch in the league, though he's always run behind really good lines. I think they've improved the line in Miami, which should, you know, help the situation entirely. But point being is that Sony Michel can do more than just run the ball. He can catch passes. He started showing that with the Rams a little bit before they decided to give Akers every single touch and him none after giving Michel 20 carries, and he was carrying him for nearly 100 yards. So I think Sony brings a lot to this team. I think that he's kind of a value, probably should have been buying him like we were buying James Conner, not the same type of player or anything, but like we were buying James Conner for 4th round picks. and he was going to give you a lot more value than that. So I think this hurts everybody there. And I think he's become slight value, but you probably can't get him for that anymore.
Yeah, no, like this would be something that you'd do a couple of days ago if you had a, just in your rookie draft, if you had a third, fourth, you might have sent it off for him.
To be honest, though, with the way people think about, or the way people think about Chase Edmonds, you may still be able to get Sony Michel for a third or fourth round pick, or a couple fourth round picks. And I think if you're a contender, that's a good bet. And I'm not saying to go do this if you're trying to rebuild, that doesn't make any sense. But, you know, if you can't do anything with these fourth round picks, you don't like the guys that are there, go ahead and send those for a guy like this, because, you know, when you're contending, you can use these points. And who knows, Chase Edmonds goes down, Raheem Mostert always injured. Sony Michel could see a lot of playing time.
I like that. So I'm on the clock in Console Wars. I have the 310, which is 304. I was going to send out offers for Melvin Gordon for the 304.
Oh, that's not bad.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's a great, I mean, if you can get that done, I think that's great. Just the talking points coming out of Denver about how they, you know, what's his name? He came from Green Bay, their new coach, Nathaniel Hackett. He was talking about how he sees both of these guys as players he can use like often. And I think that they intend on using Melvin Gordon a lot, and they intend on using Javonte Williams a lot, but you know, everybody's kind of just discounting Gordon. I sold him last year, I think, for pretty cheap. I don't remember what it was, but I definitely regret that one. I think that was a little miss on my part, just not seeing the kind of lasting value he has. But either way, I think that's good. Third round pick for Melvin Gordon. Yeah.
Next question. Send my pick for Melvin Gordon or Sony Michel?
I'd probably rather Melvin Gordon.
Gotcha. All right. I might have to do that before I make a pick. All right. See, this is why we do this. This is awesome. Tua. So you have something from Twitter here regarding Tua.
Yeah, what do I have?
I don't remember.
I forgot what I posted.
Let me.
I'm pulling it up right now.
It's a value adjacent quarterbacks from Keep Trade Cut.
Yeah, this was perfect. This was something that one of our listeners, David, sent to our Underdog Listener League 2 group chat. And it was basically Tua's value right now on Keep Trade Cut. And he's between under Derek Carr, just ahead of Kenny Pickett, Kirk Cousins, and Davis Mills. That's, what do you think about Tua's value there? I mean, we're seeing, is this the effect of kind of the video that came out on Twitter and him underthrow? I don't know if you saw this. It was, Tua underthrowing Tyreek Hill. But I've seen some other videos of him kind of looking pretty good, throwing the ball, more short area stuff. But I don't know, what do you think this is? Does this make sense to you? I mean, I think Pickett being up there is kind of crazy. Mac Jones ahead of him is crazy.
Yeah, I think, you know, I could probably swap Tua and Mac Jones here. Put Tua at QB 16, Mac Jones at QB 19. I like Mac Jones, but if we have to base on what we saw last year, he's not like super great for fantasy. And I think Tua has a little more upside there, especially with the new head coach there. So yeah, I think maybe Tua is a value right now, if that's what people are thinking. And to underthrowing Tyreek Hill, that dude's fast. Like, you know, a lot of quarterbacks gonna underthrow Tyreek Hill.
He just met the guy. Come on, he's got to get, you know, the range in. Like, come on, he's got to lock himself in. You know what I mean? He's got to do his thing. So I wouldn't worry about, you know, an underthrown pass. Also, these social media teams for these organizations are just absolutely terrible. Like, why are you putting that video out?
That's bad.
Makes no sense, right? Like, it's just gonna cause into, like, problems. Highlights. This is coming from the Dolphins. Like, unreal. Doing themselves no favors and Tua no favors, hoping he proves the haters wrong this year. I'm not even the biggest truther. I don't think you are either. We have him in our Devy League paired with Tyreek Hill, so it should be fun. But it's just, I feel like he's just getting unreasonable hate at this point. Like, really unreasonable.
I feel like he has ever since he's stepped on the field. Maybe it's because people like Fitzpatrick so much, the personality and everything, and he got benched for Tua, and Tua kind of,
I think it has a lot to do with Brian Flores and the whole wanting Watson, and kind of and last year him getting sat for the injuries. Remember, we talked a lot about it, how it was kind of ridiculous all that was going on there, and now we're hearing it was a little vendetta against Tua for whatever reason. And so you know, I think he's getting kind of the raw end of the stick from every which way. So we'll see what happens there.
Speaking of just off the cuff here, but, you know, Dallas Cowboys social media, they posted like Dak throwing to CeeDee Lamb. Mm-hmm. I think they posted it today. I'll tell you, CeeDee Lamb's been in the weight room, bro.
Oh, you he's know, looking bigger?
He does look, his arms look bigger. His face looks, you know, he looks
he
like,
needs it.
Because he's kind of slight, right? He was always kind of slight.
That was always my problem with
slight
him.
Chest.
I never thought he could. It's not that he can withstand everything. Obviously, he's a great NFL player already, but it's more like, could he beat the number ones with his strength, right? Because you need that as a number one wide receiver, I think. You need that strength.
He must have put on, I don't know, 7-8 pounds, probably something like that.
That's big time for
yep.
for a guy like him who probably has trouble putting on weight. You know, he's probably just one of those lean guys. So I'm excited to see it. I trust your word. I don't know, man. I've always been low on CeeDee Lamb. He's kind of appropriately priced. There's nothing you can really do with him in Dynasty, I don't think, right now.
Right, that's most of the news. Let's talk about some draft wins, draft regrets that we've had through our rookie drafts. I think we've been through probably about 4 or 5 each.
Mm-hmm.
So I got one regret, and then one I'm like, I don't really know. So I have 0 shares of Sky Moore.
You and me both. What is happening?
How? You know, I know what's happening because a month ago, I could position myself through trades and which picks I wanted to send off, which ones I wanted to keep. I had 2 picks in the second, and a lot of my leagues kind of appropriately, I thought, spaced out where I could snag both my boys, Sky Moore and Trey McBride. Now, after the NFL draft, Sky Moore goes to Kansas City. He moves up a whole round. Dude's going like 107, 108, and you'll be able to get him at like 206. So I thought I was going to I'm going to get my guy, you know, small school guy. You know, there's not going to be a lot of hype for him. There's not like a ton of talk about him before, but boom, to the moon. He's just sitting there in the middle of the first, and I just can't pull the trigger. So I have zero Sky Moore. I never thought I'd see this.
And nobody will remember that we loved him before all the hype, right? That we were that we were in on Moore, and we'll have no shares to speak for it. You know what I mean?
I won't.
So yeah, and you know what's funny is I didn't even see you had this on here, but I was in the car thinking about this today. I was like, how can I acquire Sky Moore? Like, when is going to be the and maybe the hamstring creates an opportunity for, I don't know if it lingers. I don't know. I don't know if I'll be willing to buy. You know, there's just, I'm wondering where I can get in on Moore. And right now it's not in the drafts. Like you said, it's just too expensive. I'd much rather spend my pick on Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave and do that kind of thing. I really thought I'd be getting him around the 109, 10 spot, more around the Christian Watson area. And it's just not even close. Not even close, man. So I'm right there with you. That's one of my biggest regrets is I just can't find a way to make it happen and use the capital on him and be okay with it for some reason. As much as I like Sky Moore, it just wasn't at the top end of the draft. You know, it just wasn't there.
Oh, no. If I could spend like the 112 on him, 111, like I'm happy with that. Yeah. I'm happy with that. But yeah, so that's one of my biggest regrets.
106, 104, those areas, like to spend it on him there, you could trade out, get a 23 first, get another player in the first round, second round of this draft right now. And it just makes a lot more sense to do that kind of thing for me. Yeah, that's definitely one of them. I'm wondering, this isn't a regret necessarily, but I'm wondering if I'm going to regret moving back in Console Wars. And I ended up getting Chris Olave, which I'm happy about. But I wonder if I'm going to regret not taking Garrett Wilson, who fell to me at like 108 or something like that, which is pretty late for Garrett Wilson, I think.
When you picked Olave, Wilson was no longer.
So I had 3 picks. I traded 2 of the, I had 4 firsts. I traded 2 of the firsts for 1 that was very high. And then I had 2 more sitting there at 107 and 108. I traded back from 107. The person took Garrett Wilson. So my next pick, I took Chris Olave. And I knew I was going to miss out on one of these guys. I didn't know if Garrett Wilson would fall to me there. I obviously would have taken him if he fell again for whatever reason. But I knew that I was going to get my pick of, oh, okay, maybe I can get Chris Olave or whatever other guy that I knew that there was 2 guys. I forgot who the other one was. But Chris Olave, like I said to you right before we started recording the episode, Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, both with their draft capital and just their profile, moved themselves closer and landing spot, moved themselves closer to Treylon Burks and Drake London, right? So I was okay with moving out of that spot and still getting Wilson. I mean, getting Olave. I'm just wondering if I'm going to regret moving off of Garrett Wilson.
I don't think you will. It's hard telling, but right now I don't think I would worry about it right now. I think they're both going to be just fine.
Yep. What else you got?
The next one is so I've been through four rookie drafts, and I have two shares of Pickett. Okay, so I got one at 109, and the other one I got at 107. And the one I got at 107, Sky Moore and Olave were both there. But my quarterbacks are trash in that league, mind you. My best one is Jameson Winston, probably.
Ooh.
Garoppolo, Winston. Yeah, those are kind of the QBs I have there. So I was like, I'm going to take Pickett there. But I have two shares of Pickett, and I'm like, I'm not even sold on Pickett. I'm just like, I don't know. The NFL took him in the first. He went to a really good organization, has a ton of weapons. Should have every chance to be the guy. But, man, I'm thinking I want to move one of those Pickett shares sooner than later.
Yeah, probably. I think it's better to get out from it when you can. But I forgot who I heard talking about this, but I do think that there's value in drafting that quarterback because quarterbacks hold value in super flex leagues. And Pickett's likely to gain, I think, some more before he loses some, unless he's total crap and Trubisky beats him out. But I just don't see that happening. So I think that he's going to kind of gain some steam. You can move off of him to, I mean, look, he's valued as high as Tua right now. You might be able to move Pickett plus another, you know, a second next year for Tua. And I'd feel great about it.
Yeah. I think I'm going to try that, especially with that. We were looking at the keep trade cut and seeing how high they had Pickett ranked already.
Yeah. That, you know, I would try that, man.
Yeah. I think I will.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, he's there. We talk about all the time, like first round quarterback, you should probably take him in the first round of your rookie drafts. And he was just sitting there and I'm like,
that late. I think it's worth
welcome
it.
To my team.
Yeah. Welcome home. I do think that late it is worth it. I'm trying to think of some draft wins. I mean, I've been able to trade back in all my drafts, kind of almost every spot I wanted to, not every spot, but almost every spot I wanted to. And I think that's a really big win because obviously if you're moving back, you know, you're picking up value. And every time I've moved back, I've really not lost out on players that I wanted to go get. So that's a big one. I got Garrett Wilson at 108 in another league. So he's fallen actually in console wars in another league that I'm in to 108. And I think that that's crazy. I mean, behind James Cook and Kenny Pickett got taken in the top five, which is just nonsense. But these guys are an interesting group and they make some wild picks. I mean, Matt Corral went at 201 in that league. It's wild. Yeah. You mentioned your boy Trey McBride.
Yeah.
Have you been able to get a lot of him?
I did. I got, well, not a lot. See, that's the thing. He's going, you know, he went one pick before I was on the clock and I wasn't paying attention to the draft as it was happening. So I was like, oh, I'm up. And I look and the pick right before me was Trey McBride. And he was that was 212. I had the 301. If I had been paying attention, I would have traded up because I've never seen him go that late.
No. And he was the last share?
There was only one share because it's, you know, regular.
Oh, and your regular in another draft.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He went to 212. If I had noticed that, you know, because I'm at work or whatever, dealing with my grandpa, and I just noticed that, okay, I'm on the clock on my 301. I thought he'd be gone by 204 or whatever.
Oh,
anyway.
Oh my goodness. That's so crazy.
He wasn't even on my mind to be available to move up like one spot or two spots. So I really missed out on the share of Trey McBride there. I was very heartbroken. But I did get him.
Good. Yeah, sorry.
I did get him in one of our listener leagues, and I paid up for him, the 201, because I didn't have any other like mid seconds. So I'm like, I want McBride. I have to have at least one. So I paid up for him 201, and I'm not even mad about it.
I wouldn't be either. I think that Trey Bride has to have one of the highest variances in this class of where he's being drafted, because I've seen him go in the first round and I've seen him fall in the mid second, and never to where you're talking about, but clearly he does. I think that there's an argument to be made for him being a first round pick. Like, there's not that many guys at the end of there, especially based on need. I mean, he's easily 201. I think it's perfect spot for him. He has every opportunity to become an every down starting tight end in the league. Like, mm-hmm. Zach Ertz is on the way out and he's who they want to be that guy. Somebody said they don't pass to tight ends in one of our DU chats. And that's not true. Like, I think I said it in there that, or no, it wasn't. It was on a Twitter chat, but somebody said that. And I was like, what are you talking about? Zach Ertz had 42 targets in the last four games of the season last year. And granted, they had some injuries and whatnot, but even when Dan Arnold was there, when they had somebody even moderately decent, they were throwing him the ball at times and at a pretty high clip. When they've had stiffs at the position for the most part, Max Williams,
Max Williams.
I mean, I know we all wanted him to be good, but no.
I still have a share.
Yeah, and there was other guys I forgot other than Max Williams and Dan Arnold. And Dan Arnold, let's be honest, is no Zach Ertz. And McBride may be much better and should be much better than Dan Arnold was. So I think there's a really strong argument for him being in the first round. Speaking of variance, Peter Howard actually had a great episode today, which is Wednesday, the 11th. He had a great episode today on ADP, but it was just a different, he's so funny the way he does it. Like, it's all about like variance, right? And he's just talking about like literally looking at the ADP and by round and saying like which rounds have the most variance of where players are going. Like, we know who we want to get at certain points. Thought it was a really interesting take on ADP. So definitely give that a listen. It was a cool one.
I think I'm about halfway through that episode.
It's interesting, right? Yeah.
You know, he's talking about certain players, like if you want Burks or if you want London, like you have to get to the 102 because he's likely going 102. He might go 103, but your chance of getting 103 are pretty bad. So it's like, you know, just little things, because that's important, especially if you're moving up and down. You know, a lot of our drafts have already started, but there's still plenty to go, right? We're drafting all the way through the month of May. So it is interesting the way he does it.
Yeah, he just has a good perspective on stuff and kind of a different way of looking at things. So definitely really cool. And it makes sense too, because it's something that, like, I think you and I maybe inherently see and know because we're just subconsciously because we do it so much. But, you know, like, I know, like, if I want London, I got to go get his ass. There ain't no falling. Mm-hmm. No, London ain't falling. You know what I mean? So it's like, we know that Wandell, he's going to fall. You know what I mean? Like, so we can kind of gauge those things and know that, like, yeah, there's that variance in certain leagues and you can bet on those things. But I think he puts it in a really digestible way for people to kind of understand it. Really cool stuff.
Awesome. So next one is not a guy we've really talked about much, but we have like in chats. And I think over the last few days, we've kind of come around to this guy. He's small, so that does give me a little pause, but coming around on Wandell Robinson. And I think you are too. What are your reasons? Yeah. What are your reasons? Other than like, he's kind of cheap.
I mean, so, you know, the small thing, that's something that I definitely have held against him a lot,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think it's fair. Like, if you're really good, we've seen guys like Steve Smith, guys like Danny Amendola, like you can win in this league being small. It's do you have the skill set to do it? Now on film, I certainly was lower on Rondale. I can actually pull it up. I have it right here. I was definitely lower on Rondale Moore. All right, I mean, it's Rondale. That's going to happen.
isn't that funny?
Yeah, I was lower on Wandell. I mean, he was average. Again, this class very tight. He was around George Pickens, Kyle Phillips, Dotson, that area, you know, pretty well below guys like, you know, Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, that whole group. But it was, he reminded me a lot of Sproles, right? Just not a refined route runner. Didn't, I think, have the technical kind of skill set really built up and developed. And then it was, you know, on tape, it wasn't that often I thought that I saw him able to create for himself. But when you watch the highlights, you see it, and it's in the SEC. It's against really good talent, and he dominated on his team, right? He dominated the touches and the production. So when I kind of, you know, trying to put my film bias aside for a second and say, maybe I'm being too harsh on him. Maybe I'm not seeing everything that's there because it's, was it Kentucky?
Kentucky, yeah.
Right? Like, how much film am I really getting? How much am I really able to see? And he produced like a monster. So it's partly that I got in the chat with the DFF guys and I'm like, convince me, like, tell me, you know, where I'm going wrong. And, you know, when they put his profile next to, you know, other players historically who have succeeded in the NFL, it's a pretty short list of really great players. Number one, number two, draft capital they spent up for him, the landing spot. They clearly want somebody to fill a role, and me getting out of my own head that small guys can't win in this league, right? Like, you know, they can put in the right situations, betting on Daboll, kind of just, it's one of those where I'm really betting on the upside of the situation and trying to not let my bias as, you know, a film evaluator get in the way of the entire profile, which I think stands out even in our model that we built that takes into account film and the numbers.
Yeah. And so honestly, I won't even lie. Like, just having him get drafted to the Giants is one of those things. I was like, nah, I'm out. I don't care where they took him. They took Tony in the first last year, suckers. Ain't gonna catch me slipping though. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I mean, his profile is really good. We didn't really talk about him much. 19-year-old breakout. 19.9 scrimmage dominator. He's an early declare. Scrimmage yards market share is 21.45, which is really, really good. Age adjusted hit rate is 22.5. And if you sort just by that, like, he's in a good, really good group of people. And of average yards per team pass attempt is 2.35, whew, which is really good in really good competition. So right, even though he is small, like you said, he's in the SEC, he's playing against a pretty stout competition. He dominated, and this guy is going, you get him in the third routinely. At least I have been able to.
Yeah, absolutely. I reached for him in one league because I didn't have a third, or it was like 312 and I had like the 203. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get him. I want to just take the upside shot here because I don't have that many picks. So I was just going to go for Wandale. I just wanted his college dominator. I don't know if you said that, but 37.3% college target share, 39.3. That's 99th percentile for the college target share. Like he, in the breakout age, like you said, was 95th percentile. Like he kind of checks like all the boxes, but the size. And if you want to knock him for the landing spot, we've talked about this, right? I think there's unique situations. We talked about this on our Patreon. There's unique situations. I think like Washington, which just you can't dismiss the stink, right? I think there's situations like the Bengals that turn around quickly. I think there's situations that you can highlight that maybe the Giants are one of those that have got a better coaching staff, that are going in the right direction, that, you know, this is a pick that I think I wanted to say was Tony 2.0, but if you look at it, yeah, it's kind of like making the Tony pick right.
I like that.
In a way, yeah.
Correcting last year's mistake.
Right. Correct.
Hopefully he brings his cleats to minicamp.
Yeah. Bring those cleats, little fella. Come on, just do that. I'm excited to see what he can do. I think the other thing that kind of somebody said to me, and I don't know if we have it in front of us, but it was maybe his yards per reception was one thing as well. It wasn't that he was getting everything done with like schemed stuff, short area stuff. It was, he was getting down the field. He was making big plays against really elite competition. So it was more just that he was able to do kind of everything. It seems like more than at least I was able to kind of see on film, and matching that with, you know, obviously you can see some of the upside on film. I'm not just saying he was like a stiff or anything like that. But if you combine it, then I'm thinking maybe there's a little bit more that I just didn't see there. And I'm kind of putting my faith in the numbers a bit.
I really like the fact that, you know, you appreciate and you get into the analytics too, but like, you know, you're definitely very film based. So like anytime that like there's a guy that kind of pops out there and I'm seeing just from the sheets and you're seeing on film too, and like you're coming around on a guy, I'm coming around on a guy, like I feel like, okay, well, there's gotta be something here.
Yeah. No, I agree.
His quarterback is Levis, right? Levis?
Will Levis. Yeah, that's what I want to call him. Will Levis.
Oh, man. Levis, so,
I don't know, but he is something, man. He's something.
That's, he really is.
He's a little older, I think, right? He's like 45 years old.
he's going to be, you know, AARP soon enough.
But he's getting some hype now, right? Like he's rising up there. I mean, I'm sure, you know what I could do? Let me see where he went in this Devy draft. I'm interested in that. He went 11th in the first round.
Yep.
Of this Devy draft to the founder of DFF, Michael Goins. So that's some praise, I'd say, right there. That's some high praise for the Levi's, the wearing the pants, bro. Come on.
Yeah. So if you got a free, you know, 10 minutes or so, hop on YouTube and just look at Levi's highlights. And the dude is just, it's amazing.
He's 22 years old. He's 6'3".
Yeah.
So he's got the size. He's 6'3", 232. He's a big boy. And what did he do this year? He had 2,826 yards, 24 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. So he's really going to have to clean that stuff up if he wants to rise up the boards. But man, people seeing the rushing stuff and it's,
yeah,
it's,
how do you do on the ground?
On the ground, oh man!
Didn't he rush for like 4 touchdowns in one game?
Probably,
I think so.
Rushing. Sorry, I got to see it. Let's see. Yeah, it was 3 touchdowns he had on the season, but 213 yards. He averaged 4.5 a carry, like on 51 attempts. Like, dude is a hoss, bro. Yeah, for sure. Oh man,
he'll be a fun one. Yeah.
He'll be a fun one to talk about for sure. I just, like, as soon as I saw it all, I was like, something ain't right about this, man. Like, and again, he's at Kentucky. So it's like, you know, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. All right, cool. So this is something that I want to talk about because we're implementing it in our listener leagues.
This is a good one. Oh, I think the waivers went. Did the waivers go through today?
I don't know. It's been hit and miss.
They should have gone through and do you, oh no. All right, anyway, go ahead.
So you have the option after your rookie draft to have, you know, first come, first serve for any type of player for however long until you decide to do regular weekly waivers. And that is an option. And I think that's what we're going to implement. But I am the contrarian here. I feel like I want to battle about this a little bit. And I feel like it should be weekly waivers or even daily waivers. Because what I feel like, in the fairness of everything, everyone should have like the same amount of time to think about something or process something. Some of us work, you know, 50 hours a week or whatever. Like, I feel like first come, first serve, once you hear like, oh, so-and-so went down, you know, out for the season, whoever happens to be that's like glued to their phone gets to go and pick up that player and nobody else really has a shot at them. So I'm like, I think that waivers are just a little more quote unquote fair to the whole group. So why, sir, have you chosen first come, first serve?
So I just feel like, sorry, I was just checking DU1, the waivers go tomorrow. So I just feel like, you know, after you go through a rookie draft and you have one waiver run, like everybody's had generally enough time to decide like what they wanted to do there, right? Like they could have put in as many waiver claims as they wanted. And then after that, it's kind of just fair go at the pool. I don't know. I don't see much harm unless a player is dropped that they get, you know, get put back onto waivers and waiver run happens again, which I do think we have it set. I mean, I know I have it set up to one run waivers every Saturday. So that shouldn't be a problem for us, but we don't have it set up where players are just locked all the time and there are waivers going. If you want to do daily waivers, I mean, that's not a bad idea either. Like, I think that's the next best solution would be having daily waivers. Feel free to set that up in MFL, brother.
Oh my God.
It's probably not hard. You can do it literally. I think you can do it every day. You can just, there's a setting for it. So we can look into that. And I think that that's an agreeable approach to it as well, where it's more, I want everybody to have the availability to pick up players every day. That is what I do think everybody should have the availability to do, because right now, if an NFL team wants to, and obviously we're not just like matching every, it's fantasy, but if an NFL team wants to, right, they can go sign a free agent and they don't have to wait for waivers. So I think it's kind of, it matches that a little bit in my mind, but daily waivers probably the next best option.
All right. So if an NFL team goes and signs, I don't know, like a Sony Michel or something, and say he was out there on waivers, which he shouldn't be, this is Dynasty, folks. You know, Joe Schmo sitting on the toilet flipping through, gets a notification from Sleeper, and it's like, oh, Sony Michel, boom, I'm gonna pick him up. When everybody else is like, I don't know, checks their phone at lunchtime, is like, oh, that happened, let's go put in a waiver for Sony. Oh, he's already been picked up.
Got to be more dedicated.
I knew you were gonna say that.
I think you don't have your priorities straight is the problem. You bring up a good point, but there are times in season, right, where stuff like that happens too.
It's true.
We're like, you know, it's right after waivers and you have a couple of days before kickoff. And obviously it's free to pick up anybody you want, and news breaks, boom. And somebody picks them up right before you do. I mean, that is part of the game. I think during the off season, it's more acceptable to allow stuff like that to happen where there's like news breaks. And it's like, oh, okay, first person who heard it and goes to it gets it. I think obviously in season, there's just, you know, you can't have that because everybody should have a fair shot at every player before each game, really. But I do see your side of it. I see your point. I'm not even going to lie to you. It was also partly simplicity. Like in this matter, like MFL is kind of tricky to set up the weekly waivers and make sure they run right every time. I did have people asking me, wasn't it supposed to be first come, first serve after the rookie draft? So it was a little bit easier than to just kind of battle that whole thing that we could agree upon it. You know, the three of us, you, myself and Josh, that we did it first come first serve, but I'm totally about, I mean, both the groups I think are pretty liberal when it comes to kind of, you know, what we're going to do and what we're going to set as far as the rules in this league. And obviously we don't change things as it goes, but stuff like this, the minor stuff, I think they'd be fine if we changed it to like daily or something like that if we wanted.
Awesome.
Good discussion though. I'm glad you brought it up because I totally forgot that happened. It's good commissioner stuff. Come on. Commish life, man.
Commish life.
Never ends.
All right. So one of our Patreons, David, he had said that, you know, he's enjoying the extra content. and wishes that we would talk more in depth about our trades and non-trades. So how do you feel about moving this segment over to the Patreon?
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thanks for everyone for listening. Give us a follow on Twitter at just UriahFF, at William Beeman DFF, at Dynasty Underdog, and Joshua M. Goldberg. Have a good night, everyone.